Hey, what's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd, on my own here, at least to start the show. Drancer has the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. Some guests coming up later on in the show, however. Of course, Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at DLEAMC.com. We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. As I mentioned, no Drance today at 12:30. Kyle Bukauskas, of course, from Hockey Night in Canada, the 32 Thoughts podcast. He'll join me to chat about some of the big stories around the NHL. And then at 1 o'clock, as has become the norm when Drance is not around, Landon Ferraro will join me in studio for the final hour of the show. So looking forward to chatting with Kyle, looking forward to chatting with Landon in studio a little bit later as well. And of course, I do want to say as well, thanks to everyone for listening here on Remembrance Day. I hope if you have the day off that you're having a restful day, but also taking some time to reflect on why we have the day off today. And if you're working like me, well, hey, thanks for tuning in. And I'm glad we can be a part of your Remembrance Day today. Okay, as mentioned, Kyle Bukauskas at 12:30, Landon Ferraro at 1 o'clock. But before any of that, let's go right into the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, Remembrance Day, November 11th, and we'll start with the headlines, and man, there's a lot of them. This was a very, very busy weekend for the Vancouver Canucks. You know, you can go back to just after our show ended on Friday. Of course, they trade Daniel Sprong to the Seattle Kraken for future considerations, so the Daniel Sprong era in Vancouver comes to a very unceremonious ending pretty quickly into the season as well. Then on Saturday, they take an ugly loss at home 7-3 to the Edmonton Oilers in a much hyped playoff rematch from last season. Of course, division rivals, Western Canadian rivals, Hockey Night in Canada. That was a tough one. Jonathan Lekkerimäki called up officially by the team on Sunday. He practiced with them yesterday. He's practicing with them today. So he seems very much in line to make his NHL debut tomorrow when they host the Calgary Flames. And if you want to throw some other things in there, you know, Dakota Joshua taking a full participant in the last couple of practices with the team. It seems like his return might be imminent. Thatcher Demko showing more signs of progress, being a more significant participant in practice with his teammates than we've seen him be up to this point. So there's a lot going on, and there was a lot going on for the Vancouver Canucks over the weekend, and I don't want to completely gloss over the result on Saturday. Obviously, that's an ugly one. That's a tough one to see, especially considering the circumstances and the opponent, the lingering questions about, you know, how do the Canucks match up with the true elite around the NHL. We can talk about all of that. But if we're just looking at the group of headlines I laid out there and trying to figure out, okay, what's going to be the biggest deal for the rest of the season? The biggest story is not them losing to Edmonton on Saturday night. The biggest story is Jonathan Lekkerimäki getting called up. That has the potential to be far more impactful for the rest of the Canucks season than anything we saw, good or bad. And there was some good, of course, that we can talk about as well. But Lekkerimäki has the potential, at least, to be much more impactful than anything we saw from the Canucks on Saturday night. So I think that's the story, really, where most of the focus should be on coming out of the weekend as they get set to host Calgary and they have five more games coming up on this homestand. And, you know, the reason I say that, obviously, look, Lekkerimäki, former first-round pick for this team, and he has the skill and the upside to potentially not just come in and fit and play games, but to potentially move the needle. I'm not going to say that he's going to come in and be an all-star contributor or anything like that, right? But that he doesn't have to be a really big deal for this team. And I actually think he's going to be coming in a pretty good position. I think in some ways you look at how Lekkerimäki is going to be making his NHL debut, joining this team, where he's going to be fitting in. In some ways, this is kind of the ideal way for a talented young player to come into the league. Because how often do we see, you know, when you're drafted top five by a team that's really struggling, and you come in either right out of the draft, or maybe you're draft plus 2 year, the team's not very good around you, that's a really, really tough situation for even the best young players. It can be hard to really pull the team in a winning direction when you're, you know, 19, 20, and you're expected to be one of the best players on the team. That's obviously not the situation Lekker Mäki's in here. He can slot into a pretty good team, you know, a team that established themselves as a legitimately good team last year and maybe going through some growing pains this year, but certainly have the pieces, again, to be a legitimately good team. He can come in that environment and slot in as a high upside complementary piece, right? This is not someone who's going to come in and all of a sudden be expected to be a core player right away. Somebody who the coaching staff looks at and says, man, he has to be at his best for us to win games. That's not the role that's going to be asked of Jonathan Lekker Mäki. He can be a complementary player, and I think that's the perfect position to have him in. But again, having said that, okay, complementary players can be very important. And bringing in a guy, giving him an opportunity who has the skill and the offensive upside, the offensive flair, the shot, the willingness to shoot, the willingness and the ability to get in positions to shoot, which you've, of course, seen in pro hockey at the North American level now, his gaudy shot totals down in Abbotsford. That's something that could pay off in a big way for this team, right? We know there's an opening on the power play. I mean, heck, they trade Daniel Sprong. So even just an opening for a guy who maybe doesn't play a ton of minutes 5-on-5, but you can put him there on the power play. You can move him up in the lineup. If you're chasing the game, if you need a goal, that's the kind of piece that can have a ton of utility for this team. The potential payoff of adding a player with his offensive upside into the lineup is really, really significant. So what do they need from Lekker Mäki? I mean, I think the number one thing you want to see early in his NHL career, his likely debut tomorrow, and then we'll see how long this first run is. The number one thing you want to see from him is just the confidence to go out there and be himself. And I was talking about Elias Pettersson on Friday, right? And it just felt like, as I was saying, he's forgotten what his identity is, what makes him a special player. And I think anytime a young player comes up, and especially, you know, playing for a coach as Rick Tocchet, who, as we've seen repeatedly, hey, it's great if you have great, awesome offensive capabilities, but you still have to do all the other things correctly to keep you in the lineup. You want to see that from Lekker Mäki. You want to see that complete game, but he can't forget what made him a first-round pick, what made him such an exciting prospect, what's allowed him to score goals at a really impressive clip already with the Abbotsford Canucks. He is an offensive player. He's a shooter. He is a guy that, to reach his potential, he has to be consistently dangerous in the offensive zone. That's step one. Now, it doesn't mean you can just forget about the rest of the ice or about playing a 200-foot game, all of that. You can't punt on it. But the reason he's coming up, the reason he's getting in the lineup, is because he has the potential to be extremely dangerous from day one on the offensive side of things. That, more than anything else, is what I want to see. Yes, meet a baseline defensively, continue to develop that part of his game, but don't forget your identity. Don't forget what makes you special as a player. And for Lekker Mäki, it's his shot, it's his ability to score, it's his willingness to shoot, to take on goalies, to be creative, to be dangerous in the offensive zone. That, more than anything else, is what you want to see from Lekker Mäki coming up here, potentially making his NHL debut tomorrow. This text comes in. Lekker Mäki's potential offensive firepower offsets his poor defensive play. Well, you hope so, but you also hope that he learns to limit the liability side of things in the defensive end, right? And I know, you know, we talked to Dave Hall from Canucks Army last week, and yes, the scoring numbers and the shooting numbers are really impressive for Lekker Mäki and Abbotsford, but there are also concerns about his two-way game. Now, the goaltending hasn't done him any favors down in Abbotsford up to this point. And Rick Tocchet was asked about Lekker Mäki yesterday. They're practicing right now at Rogers Arena. I'm sure Rick will be asked about him again today. And, you know, Rick had some praise for, hey, he's rounding out his game. He's developing that side of things. And I think this is going to be a really fascinating moment for Rick Tocchet, too, right? Tocchet obviously has aced pretty much every test he's faced as a head coach here in Vancouver. His batting average, his success rate, extraordinarily high. But he hasn't had a player like this or a situation like this to deal with, right? He hasn't gone through the process of shepherding a top prospect into the NHL, integrating them into the lineup, and putting them in a position to succeed. He's dealt with young players. Obviously, Nils Höglander, that springs to mind, right? Going down to Abbotsford, coming back up, being a healthy scratch at times, but slowly earning the confidence of a coach. But that's a very different situation, right? Höglander's a lot older, not as high pedigree, based on his draft slot. All of those things. Very, very different. This is Lekkomäki making his NHL debut as a first-round pick. And so I'm curious to see how Tocchet manages that situation, right? Can he strike the right balance between letting Lekkomäki do his thing, putting him in a position to succeed offensively, but at the same time, holding him accountable, developing that total game that they want to see from Lekkomäki? That's going to be a tricky process. It's always a bit of a tricky process. It can be a difficult needle to thread for coaches, because you don't want to give them a pass just because you're a high pedigree and you scored in Europe and you were scoring in the AHL. So, hey, don't worry about defense out there. You can't do that. Especially when the defensive side of things has been such an important part of the Canucks identity. But you also can't, you also got to make sure that you're not coaching the offense, coaching the excitement out of a player like Lekkomäki. And of course, I think a lot of people, as I talk about how Tocchet tries to strike that balance with an exciting player like Lekkomäki, your thoughts will turn to Kuzmenko, Daniel Sprong, guys where it didn't work out and they found themselves being traded away sooner rather than later. Again, those are guys who are a lot older, a lot more pro experience. The approach has to be, and I'm sure it will be, very different with Lekkomäki than it was for those two players. He's just so much more important to the future of this team, to the present of this team. The potential is so much greater with a player like Lekkomäki than it was with either of those players. So it demands a different approach for Rick Tocchet. And this text comes in: not sure rookie version Leck will be much different impact-wise than Sprong. I can't see Tocchet trusting him. It's an interesting comparison. Just, okay, take out the potential and the future and all of that. Who's giving you more on a minutes-per-minutes basis, Sprong or Lekkomäki? But again, with Lekkomäki, I think the potential does matter, right? Because yes, you want him in the lineup to help you beat Calgary tomorrow, but if you can develop him over the next 4 or 5 months where he's better than Daniel Sprong come April, that's a big deal. And forget about the years beyond that, which are really important as well. I think the fact that the potential is there, yes, it might not show up November, December, but can you coach him up to a point where it shows up in April and May potentially? And I think he has the upside where that's a legitimate conversation, where that is a legitimate goal that the Canucks can have. Can we get the most out of this player so he is giving us more than Daniel Sprong would have by the time the playoffs, the really important games, roll around? Again, we're not talking, a third-round pick here who's impressed and been plucky and has earned a call-up. This guy was 15th overall. Going into that draft, there was a lot of people that thought he was going to be a top-10 pick. And yes, the development path obviously has not been linear. It rarely is, but obviously in Lekkomäki's case, it was extremely non-linear. Disastrous draft plus one season, really rebounded last year, good showing so far in Abbotsford this year. This is a very, very high pedigree prospect with a ton of potential. It is not at all unreasonable. I'm not saying it's a guarantee, but it's not at all unreasonable to at least see if he has the chance to be a regular contributor and a significant contributor, a top nine reliable guy for a playoff team at the NHL. That is absolutely a potential reasonable outcome for Lekkomäki here. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. You can keep your thoughts coming in. By the way, this is a big moment for Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford as well. When Lekkomäki plays, he'll be the first of their draft picks to play for the Canucks. Of course, he was also the first pick they made with the team. That's always a really key player for executives and front offices, right? The first-round pick you make with a new organization, if that guy hits and he comes into the lineup and all of a sudden you've got this cheap source of offensive upside and excitement to build around, to sell to your fans, that's a big deal. That makes life so much easier for front offices. So big moment for Lekkomäki, obviously, if he makes his debut tomorrow. Big moment for Rick Tocchet for how he handles this situation going forward. Big moment for Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford as well. All right, just a couple of takeaways from the game on Saturday. We can get more into it with Landon Ferraro a little bit later on in the show as well. But obviously, that's an ugly one. And the team just, man, it was tough too, because you go down 3-0, boom, those quick two response goals, and you thought, okay, hey, this third period is going to be really exciting. The wheels just fall off as soon as they drop the puck, basically, for the third period. And obviously, Kevin Lankinen, you know, this is why it's fair to have concerns about, okay, are they starting him too much? How tenable is this situation with Kevin Lankinen? He's never been in this position where he's starting 6-7 games in a row, that type of thing. And obviously, I think you started to see the fatigue creep into his game in that third period. If you want to look on the bright side from Saturday, and I know they talked about it in Hockey Night in Canada, it's been a topic of conversation here in Vancouver as well since that game. Pretty clearly Elias Pettersson's best game of the season. Scores a goal, picks up an assist, but even beyond that, I think you saw just more of the dynamic attacking and the confidence, the assertive play that you want to see from Elias Pettersson. You started to see more of in that game. So are you buying the apparent progress from Elias Pettersson after that game against the Oilers on Saturday? And I said that was his best game of the season, but I'm a little hesitant to get on board of, hey, he's turned a corner here, because the last time I thought he had turned a corner, it was that road game in Chicago, and I thought we saw a lot of similar things, right? He was making plays, he was beating defenders, he's drawing penalties, he's getting passes to the slot, he's creating chances. I looked at that and said, okay, that looks like meaningful progress to me, and there was no carryover at all. They came home, yeah, he scored against Pittsburgh, but then his game really dropped off the map after that for the rest of those home games. So I'm a little nervous about saying, okay, hey, he's turned the corner. We're going to keep seeing it. It's going to be a linear process from here on out, and he's going to get back to Elias Pettersson. I hope that's the case, but I kind of thought that was going to happen after that Chicago game, and it very much did not. So can it carry over? Can he build on it? Is this a one-off, or is it the start of a process for him getting back to the top of his game? I will say, I think it's really important that he had a strong effort at home, because there's already been moments early in this season where the home crowd has let their frustration with Elias Pettersson be known. Very understandable, given the circumstances. You don't want that to develop into a theme, into something that's lingering for the rest of the season. So a strong performance at home. Yeah, it came in an ugly game. That's not ideal. Now with 5 more games on this homestand, some favorable opponents, this feels like a really good opportunity for him to seize that momentum, build on that progress, give the home fans something to get excited about, and use this as a turning point for his season. We'll talk more about the result on Saturday later on with Landon Ferraro, but keeping the whiteboard going here quickly in the broadsheet. And Satyar Shah from Canuck Central, he was on with Halford and Brough this morning. Just a couple of interesting notes from Sat. You know, one on Brock Besser's health status, which is, the team says he has an upper body injury, so they haven't said, is it concussion related or anything like that, of course, after the hit from Tanner Janot. And Sat really just saying that basically things are pretty mysterious, not getting a lot of information out of the team. Now, that could mean any number of things, but as Sat said, it's not a case where, hey, will you call somebody up and ask them about it, that you get the, oh yeah, he's doing really well. It's a lot murkier, a lot more ambiguous than that around Besser. Another thing that Sat mentioned, of course, we're all wondering, will they find a way to improve this blue line, improve this defensive group at some point during the season? And Sat pumping the brakes on that one, saying, don't think help on the blue line is arriving anytime soon. And that's not a lack of willingness from the team. It's, they don't have that much cap space yet, right? They're in the process of tolling and accruing more cap space, but that won't really become significant until later on in the season, closer to the deadline. So if you are making a move to try to improve your team, you're still kind of in that dollar out, dollar in mode. Not quite. They have a little bit of a cushion, but you're getting there. And then, of course, there's just not that many players on the block that would really move the needle for the team right now. So how desperate are you to make a trade when, yeah, the process has looked pretty ugly on the back end, but, you know, Carson Soucy's looked better over the last week or so. And hey, the team's still 7-3-3. So it's not as if it's a crisis situation to go out and try to add that player. Final thing I'll note in the broadsheet from Elliot Friedman on, I believe this was on the Fan Hockey Show with Marchese and Fuda today, throwing out a couple of names that could be available on the defenseman market. Ivan Provorov from Columbus, Marcus Pettersson from Pittsburgh. Now, Pettersson, of course, experience with Tocchet and with Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin. Both of those players are unrestricted free agents. Both of those teams, you know, not really expecting to be playoff contenders this year, or at least Pittsburgh maybe was expecting to, but they've had those expectations dashed pretty quickly here. But the problem is both left shot guys, right? So does that fit what the Canucks need? And I'm not saying that it has to be a right shot defenseman that they eventually go out and get to try to address things on the blue line, but man, it would make things a lot simpler. It would make things a lot simpler if you can go Hughes, Hronek, Susie, mystery number three defenseman X, Forbort, Myers. The other configurations where you're bringing in a left-handed guy and, okay, who are you moving to the right side? Or is it a bigger trade and, you know, one of the guys you currently have on the roster is going out? It just gets a lot more complicated. Now, I wouldn't put anything past this management group. They're very good at figuring out complicated situations. But the fact that it's mostly left shot guys available out there is certainly a complicating factor for the Canucks. Lineup notes today, as I mentioned, the Canucks practicing today at Rogers Arena. They'll play the Calgary Flames tomorrow. They practiced yesterday as well. So busy, busy for the Canucks after that 7-3 loss to the Oilers on home ice. Here's the lineup, and it's an interesting one, of course, with Lekker Mäki called up, with Dakota Joshua getting closer. So here are the lines from practice today. JT Miller skating between Pugh Suter and Jonathan Lekker Mäki on the top line. Elias Pettersson with Jake DeBrusque and Connor Garland on the second line. That's an interesting one. We saw DeBrusque and Pettersson reunited. Garland moved off that line with Pettersson. Now he's got both of them together. That's a pretty interesting second line to me. Teddy Bluger, of course, remains with Danton Heinen and Kiefer Sherwood. And in the fourth line, you've got Aturatu, Dakota Joshua, and Nils Höglander on the blue line. Hughes, Hronek, Susie Myers, Brännström, and Desharnais. Should also note, Artur Shelovs, who was assigned to Abbotsford over the weekend, he went down, he played for Abbotsford, got the win last night, nice to see. Save percentage, I think, of over 900, 920 for Shelovs in that win for Abbotsford, so that's a big deal for him to get some confidence back up. So he was recalled. He's back with the team. Ty Young was assigned to Abbotsford after coming up quickly, to fulfill the two healthy goalies on the roster requirements. Also worth noting, Baines and Amon remain with Abbotsford for the time being. So at the moment, as we kind of try to read the tea leaves of who's going to be in, who's going to be out tomorrow against Calgary, at the moment, the Canucks have 12 active forwards plus Dakota Joshua, who's still on IR. But obviously, Besser's health is up in the air. So it's really only 11 healthy forwards at the moment, plus Dakota Joshua, who's on IR. So, you know, you look at it, Joshua's taking a regular shift on the fourth line here at practice. Wouldn't surprise me at all if he's back against Calgary tomorrow. If not, you have the option of going and calling up Arshdeep Baines, calling up Nils Amon. But right now, it looks like Dakota Joshua in a pretty good position. We'll hear more from Rick Tocchet after practice today at some point. And if there's any update on Joshua, Besser, Demko, of course, the big health situations we're monitoring, we'll bring that one to you. Okay, lots more to get into throughout the rest of the show. We'll end the whiteboard there. We'll skip the playoff update and the betting odds update for today. Keep your text coming in, 650-650 to the Dunbar Lumber text line. As I mentioned, Kyle Bukauskas from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts. He joins me next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.